2018 has been a year of ongoing scandal for the Catholic Church, with reports implicating hundreds of priests in sexual abuse cases. The problem includes the schools that train priests. Allison Sherry of Colorado Public Radio reports on one former seminarian who, two decades after being abused, is still waiting for closure.
Stephen Zettenbach had a sheltered and conservative upbringing. His parents were Catholics, and the family's social life revolved around the church.
We had priests in our house fairly regularly growing up.
Zettenbach was on the swim team and a valedictorian in high school. He aspired to become a priest and says he hadn't even kissed anyone when, right after he graduated in 2000, a priest who was his mentor came on to him sexually.
We'd be sitting on the couch eating lunch, and he put his arm around me, and then he would start to put his hand on my leg and start to try to cuddle with me, and made me uncomfortable.
The priest was Kent Drotar. He went to Zettenbach's swim meets and even bought him a laptop. That summer, he took Zettenbach on a fishing trip and got a hotel room for the two of them. Zettenbach said although they had two beds, he woke up to the priest fondling him.
I just remember feeling like just incredibly icky through the whole thing. And he offered to hear my confession, which is against canon law, because you can't absolve someone for a sin to which you are party to.
Zettenbach studied to become a priest at St. John Vianney Theological Seminary in Denver when he was just 19. Father Drotar greatly controlled his academic and religious future at the seminary. And Zettenbach says the priest continued his unwelcome behavior. Drotar did not respond to multiple requests to comment for this story. Zettenbach says he felt beholden to Father Drotar and didn't tell anyone what was going on.
And I didn't want to hurt him either, because if I said something about it, I would hurt him. So, you know, it was kind of this mutually assured destruction.
Zettenbach ended up leaving the seminary and applied to architecture school in Florida. He wanted to get away and live openly as a gay man. When he came out to Drotar, the priest told him that God didn't make gay people. In 2007, 3 years after he cut ties with the seminary and Drotar, Zettenbach came back to Vianney to visit one of his favorite professors, Marika Frank. Frank told him about a student who was having a hard time getting ordained because Reverend Drotar thought he was too flamboyant. Zettenbach blurted out that was ironic given what he'd been through. His professor stopped him.
He told me enough that I could tell this was a case of sexual abuse, and so I named it. I said, "Stephen, you realize you were sexually abused." And that didn't seem to have occurred to him. I mean, he hadn't framed it that way for himself.
Frank told her colleague Jeannie Engelbert, who was on the priest formation team and is a therapist. Engelbert sent detailed information about the situation to Archdiocese leadership.
I had complete faith that they would honor the young man and that they would do the right thing.
Then Archbishop Charles Chaput sent Drotar away to therapy for 7 weeks. Engelbert and Frank figured that would be it, and he wouldn't get any other assignments. But when Drotar returned, Chaput assigned him to a parish in Denver, a parish with a school. Engelbert was stunned, so she wrote to Chaput expressing her concern.
My thought was, wherever they sent him or whoever treated him obviously didn't get it. And so I need to let him know. I mean, I was speaking from my clinical understanding, my psychological training, my theological training. I'm like, he must not get it. And so I'm going to lay it out really clearly.
Numerous stories of priests abusing seminarians have come out in the past year. The U.S. Conference of Bishops has considered doing more on the issue, but so far hasn't really taken it up. Engelbert says she believes the church leadership is more interested in protecting itself.
I think why these things are occurring in seminaries is that it's a closed system. It needs to be opened up to provide a sense of accountability, safety, normalcy.
When Zettenbach heard that Chaput was keeping his abuser in a parish, he asked him for a face-to-face meeting. The archbishop met him at a coffee shop near the diocese.
And I told him in no uncertain terms, I said, either you guys do the right thing, or I'm going to go to the press.
Mark Haas is a spokesman for the archdiocese. He says Chaput learned new information in that meeting that led him to convene a conduct response team. And within a few weeks, Reverend Drotar was pulled from the parish. Haas notes that he is speaking on behalf of leadership that has changed, but that proper protocols were followed.
The information that was available to them at each step, they followed, and from what we can tell, I mean, the ultimate outcome was that this man was removed from the priesthood.
Haas says Drotar can no longer call himself a priest or work as one anywhere in the world. But the church stopped short of officially defrocking or laicizing Drotar. Stephen Zuttenbach says he wants to be sure Drotar won't have his rights restored by some archbishop down the road. Zuttenbach also says he's seen Drotar call himself a priest on social media as recently as last year.
You know, I really hope they do what they said they would do 10 years ago. There's no reason not to. I mean, really.
The archdiocese says defrocking a priest requires permission from Rome, and they're pursuing that, but spokesman Haas wouldn't say where they were in the process or why it hasn't happened before.
We're not trying to minimize at all the experience that this young man went through, but we do want to stress that, from what we can tell, the archdiocese handled it exactly as it should have. He's not acting as a priest anymore. I mean, the process worked.
Zuttenbach says he's lost his faith completely, not because of the abuse, but because of the way he was treated when he reported it. For Here and Now, I'm Allison Sherry.